Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, thank you for each one here this morning. And do pray, Father, please, that you will just carry this message the way you would have it to be. I've been praying, Father, that not only that will you preach your word, Father, but that we will see, Father, that we actually see and acknowledge or recognize you in our midst. And Father, another way of putting a new way for me to pray along that line is that we will see the sign, the evidence of your presence, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would accomplish that, that we will know that we've been in your house not just horizontally as a group of people, as brothers and sisters in Christ, but that we've been in your house and that we've met with you. And I pray that you'll be pleased with everything that's said through the message. And I pray, Father, that every heart will be blessed and encouraged as well. And I pray that you'll be glorified, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to look at some things this morning that pertain to taking action. That was one title of the message, is Take Action. The other one was Get Off the Mountain. And I couldn't help but think about in the passage in the New Testament that talks about that we're to bring the light and be a light on a hill. Well, if you build a city on top of a hill and at night there's no electric going to that city, they're not going to see that city, right? So if you turn on the lights of that city, the lights are not only seen, but they also illuminate and go outward to a certain illumination power, right? And so the same is true with us, that if we collect the information, if we collect God's truth in our minds and we understand what God is saying and we learn and we grow in knowledge and wisdom and those type of things, but we're not allowing that, if you will, forgive the pun, to turn on the light bulb of using that to generate the light of Christ out into the world, then it's really become of little effect if it's not seen by the world around us, right? And I think that's a good analogy, that we need to make sure that we're, as we take in, that we're putting out the light and doing what God would have us to do. I've been really praying for our college group, and the reason is, I even told Carolyn, I said, you know, I really want to encourage them to be as creative as they can in ministry, to influence or to incorporate ways of ministry in our church that build, like I said last week, those new bridges that bridge into our community or beyond for the cause of Christ. So different focuses or style of presenting the truth of God's word or presenting ministry from a this dates me. I was saying that in my office this morning, that I hate saying that you younger people, you know, that generation, you know, will take what is creative that you can use that will draw people to Christ through the ministries of our church. And so that's a challenge for you, to incorporate your creativity in the ministries of this church in a way that will reach your age group. And we need that, because that's part of building the bridge to the future as we get older and you grow older and we have a new generation. We need to be ready for that. And so I think that's real important. So having said that, we need to understand that if we're on the mountaintop or on the hilltop, we got to bear the light and we need to get off the mountaintop and go out and do what God would have us to do. In Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, Jabin was the king of Canaan. He was not a good king. He put Israel under horrible circumstances for 20 years, and Israel began to cry out to God. And so Jabin, king of Canaan, and Sisera, the commander of his army, were oppressing Israel. Israel then cried out to the Lord for help. Deborah was a prophetess and a judge in Israel at the time. So let's look at these verses, if you would please, in Judges 4, 6 through 7 and 14 through 16. Then she, that's Deborah, sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh of Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go in and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up! For this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him, and the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak, and Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth, Hagoyim, we all know where that's at, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword, not a man was left. Let me summarize this. After the battle, Deborah sings a song, and in it she tells what the Lord thinks about those who did not respond to his call after he had already promised them victory. Acts 1:8 tells us that God has empowered us to go out in his name. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 tells us to go out in his name. We know the call. We know the commandment. We know the commission. We know that God is serious. We know that that's not a passage of scripture or a concept or a biblical understanding that's to be taken lightly, that God has said to go out and to do. And in a sense, as Deborah, the judge of Israel, told the people that were under Barak's commandment, the people of Israel on the mountain, "You got to get off the mountain and round up the enemy, and you meet them there, and God has already prepared the way." I think that's exciting for us. That if we would think about, if we're on the mountain, that translates, if we're on the mountain not doing what God would have us to do, then we're on the mountain and we're not bearing the light. We're not being effective. We're not going out. Look around. There are lots of people to reach for Christ. And if we take that opportunity to go out, if we remember that God has already paved the way, God has already commissioned, and God has already empowered, then what's the result going to be? Victory. One of the things I've been praying for our church is that God would give us joy. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Just pray for joy. Joy in the Lord. Joy in His Word. Joy in being that vessel, being that person, being that instrument that God wants to use for Him and His kingdom. And so the first thing that we need to remember is that if we fall into the position that we're on the mountaintop, we've got the information, we know the command, then like Barak, we have to be willing to respond to the command. Deborah was commanded by God as a judge and a prophetess over Israel to come against Jabin, who had imprisoned and harmed the people of Israel. And they were crying out to God and said, "God, help us, help us, help us to be what... free from this." We cry out, "God, help us, help us, help us to be more effective, to be used for your glory. Let us see more souls saved. Let us see the church grow. Let us see the effectiveness of the church and the ministry of the church become more effective." And in a sense, just like Barak or Israel crying out to God, God heard. So then God told Deborah, "Go tell them." And okay, God heard your cry. He heard your plea. Now go. And not only that, I've gone before you. Hasn't God told us the same thing? I wonder if God gets tired of us asking him when we should be saying, "Okay, God has told us to go." And what is the block that keeps us from being more and more effective for God? Or more and more available to God's calling on our life. Or more and more responsive to God to be bold. That's the other thing I've been praying for, that God would help not only me, but you. Us as a family in Christ, as the body of Christ, to become bolder in Christ Jesus. We learned that in Acts 4 a few weeks ago, that the church was praying for Peter. Peter came out. God delivered him out of prison. They met him at the road his house, and they were all rejoicing. And the end result was that they became very bold. You see, when we see the power of God work in our hearts and lives, we recognize God in our midst, we see the evidence of God doing His work, then we become subject to whether we respond to Him or not, and we can become bolder in Him.
The Christians in Rhoda's house became bold. Look what God did. I mean, the story was told. The gates were open, and the angels led them through the squadrons of the guards and set them free out in the street. It was God's doing. Wasn't it awesome to see what God did? When we see the things that God does because of faith under adverse circumstances, do we feel at times that we're in an adverse circumstance as a church in this particular day and age, in our particular community, in our particular circumstances? And do we allow our circumstances, whether it be financial, whether it be manpower, whether it be just getting tired or whatever, that we allow that to scrunch us and to bog us down? We need to remember that with Abraham and the burning bush, that the bush wasn't consumed because the bush, the power that flamed the fire on the bush, and Abraham's, when he saw that burning bush, was the Spirit of God that inflamed it. It wasn't being fueled by the wood or the leaves of the bush that was being, as if it was being burned up. The bush was fine. And you and I need to remember that we need to hold on to the power of God to empower us when we're getting weaker or we're getting tired or we need to be refreshed. And believe me, we all need to be refreshed. We all need to have that renewal in us, but that renewal doesn't come from here, our own self. It comes from us turning to God and saying, God, refresh me. God, renew me. God, give me the joy that you want me to have. God, give me the perspective you want me to see. God, give me the courage and the boldness to get off the mountain and move out because you've already prepared the way. So if we follow what God tells us to do and we're yielding to him, what are we going to see? What did I say before? Victory. We're going to see God work in ways that we hadn't expected because we're out going and doing what God has called us to do. I pray that God will help me to be and you to be bolder because honestly, I am not as bold as I should be when it comes to my daily walk, my daily being around people. We've heard that before, and it almost becomes, I don't know about for you, but for me, I hear that, and instead of being encouraged, I feel like challenged or weighted down where my thinking's not right. I should be thinking, yeah, you know, but God can do that. I don't have to feel the responsibility of the energy. I can rely on God's power and then just love him and take courage, and Lord, just give me grace to respond as you would have me to. In Judges 5:23 it says, "Curse Meroz," said the angel of the Lord, "curse its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to help the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." You know, that's a heavy verse. What's being said here? I mean, even if you go back and you read the passage in chapter 5, you'll find that there was the tribe of Dan that was out in their ships and doing their thing, and you might not see all those specifics, but that's what Dan was at, but that they didn't respond. Different tribes didn't respond to what God had called them to do. And it isn't that God needs our help. God wants to employ our help. For what reason? So we can know him. So we can experience the power, the wonder, the majesty, the person of Jesus Christ working in and through our lives that is beyond our own capability, that brings honor and glory to God. That we can find ourselves coming back almost with a spirit inside of leaping inside and saying, rejoicing inside. Man, God's been awesome this week. Look what he did. Not just in my life, but he's working through me as well. And look what he did and using me for his kingdom work. He called me and used me, compelled me and challenged me to step up in my faith and my courage in him and not in myself and to rely on his grace to be what he wants me to be, to experience him, his wonder, his power, that we might just be praising God. Remember that one year we had, it was Easter, we had 17 baptisms. Yes. And I remember one of our deacons coming out and saying, man, we've never had that many baptisms at one time before. That was awesome. Now, it's not because of the numbers per se, it was because of the evidence. Look what God was doing. That's so cool. And it elated our spirit. It caused us to rejoice and to give God glory. Say, God, thank you for your power and what you're working and what you're doing. And that's why God wants to engage us. When he told Deborah to tell Barak that you lead your group here and I'll lead the enemy there, and God's already paved the way and he's going to take care of it, then what God was doing is, I want to engage you so that you can engage me. That you can experience the wonder of who I am. And that, do you think when the victory was given, they were elated? Absolutely. And God wants us to have that. There's nothing wrong with asking God, give me joy, because my joy isn't where I'd like it to be. Or whatever. Ask. We have not because we ask not. In your little insert there, it says, to fill in the words if you're doing that, it says, be confident in God's word, God's will, God's work, and God's way. Don't stay on the mountain. Be confident in God's word, God's will, God's work, God's way. Don't stay on the mountain. I think that pretty well speaks it, doesn't it? We either make the choice to be confident in him and in what his word says, and what we know his will is to go, and that's his work, and that's his way. Get off the mountain and do it. And that's, I get scared inside. And I'm going, okay, God, you know, help me to be, to take courage, because I know that I have lots of room to improve on how I witness to people and how I connect with people for your kingdom work. So please help me with that. Second thing is, seek the wisdom of God. The first thing, by the way, was move on God's behalf. And the second point is to seek the wisdom of God. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that it's one thing to step out in faith and do something that's greater than we are on our own thinking, and it's another thing to step out in faith and respond to what God is telling us to do that's greater than we are. And we can say, oh, I want to do this, I want to plan this, and that'll glorify God. But if God isn't in it, if God isn't leading, if God hasn't confirmed, if God hasn't directed, then it's not in God. And if we're walking in Christ and we're following him and we're seeking his face, and as he leads us and prompts us to follow, he'll give us those challenges. You think it was easy to go to the state mental hospital and was afraid whether they'd let me out, right? That type of thing. Or, you know, there are things that are really challenging and scary, but you've got to rely on God and his strength, because it's there we're going to discover his power. And Judges 7:1 is one of my favorite passages of scripture. You hear me say that a lot, but I love the story of Gideon. I just love the faith of this man who was not a mighty warrior of any kind. And we know the story, but I'm going to review it. Then Jerubbaal. That is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped it beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for himself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar, before this, God says, I'm leading you, Gideon, to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites and the Amalekites, which were great enemies of Israel, and they were in vast numbers, and Gideon was just this guy. And he put out the fleece and said, God, you've got to tell me if this is right, if this is from you. I want to put the fleece out, and if the fleece is wet, and I forget which order this is, we're not looking at the scripture, but if the fleece is wet, then I know that you're telling me that I should go. So he went out and the fleece is wet. He says, God, forgive me, but I'm going to put the fleece out again now. If the fleece is dry overnight, then I'll know that it's you. See, he tested the spirit. He tested the leadership of God. He wanted affirmation from God, and that's what I was talking about before. And so then he learned, okay, I know, God, that you're calling me to do this thing that's horrendously huge, far greater than me, impossible to do, because the Midianites and the Amalekites were like, have you ever seen I'm going to say herd, it's the wrong word, of grasshoppers, or, you know what I'm saying, a herd? I mean, a flock, is that the right word? Or
swarm.
Huh? Swarm. Oh, swarm is a good word. I should have thought of that. But these vast amounts of bugs blanketing, they're innumerable. That's how these Midianites and Amalekites were. And Gideon's just this guy, you know, and God's saying, I'm going to lead you to do this, right? And so he tells them, he says, you've got too many people with you, so I want you to lead the people down to the river. And the ones that drink by laying, I do it, but you wouldn't see anyways, lay on the, you know, flat on the ground. Go ahead, you want to do it, but that's fine. Maybe later if anybody really wants to see that. But lay on the ground, stick your head in the river and drink and lap out of the river just with your tongue, you know, that type of thing. And then there are those that will get down on their knee and they scoop up and they drink out of the water like this out of their hands and they'll look around. You keep those. And there were 300 that drank with wisdom. The enemy's all around. I'm not going to turn my back on the enemy. I'm not going to be giving myself an opportunity where I'm blindsided. And so out of the 30,000 men that were there, 300 of them, 10%, were wise. And God said, I'm going to take these 10% and I'm going to use them to conquer the Amalekites and and those guys. It's just cool. And it's so cool. He had torches and put pots over them. And then the pot, they'd go out and they circled the encampment of the enemy. And they had these pots. And it's in the middle of the night. And they signal the horn. They clash the pots together. They break. And then the enemy would see. They jump out of their sleep and they see these torches. But the torches, by custom, represented a band of people, like a section of people, a squadron of people, if you will. And the crashing of the pots sounded like swords getting smashed together, right? And they were being conquered. And so God had them just kill each other, kill themselves. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. At least Israel claimed glory for himself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and then 10,000 returned, then 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many, bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this is one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. Verse 5. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go and every man to his place. Stopping right there, 300 men against countless enemies of the army. What's God setting up? I want you to see the impossibility. I want you to know that what you are about to encounter, what I am calling you to, is an impossibility for you to accomplish on your own. That's how God works in our life. That's how God worked with our church. He can lead us to things that are beyond us, so far beyond us, that to look at ourselves, we would say we're crazy. This is insane. But to know that God has affirmed it, and God is doing it, and God is calling it, and God is directing it, and God has already provided the way, is to say God is setting this up in such a way that we get to engage and be a part of the wonder of God's hand for His glory. Wow. That's where I want to be. Henry Blackaby said, know where God is working and join Him in experiencing God. When we see God working, when we see the Holy Spirit moving, when we see God confirming, then join Him. Because God revealed that to you and I for a reason, to say, here I am, this is what I'm doing, this is what I want, and I want you to join me so that you can experience the power and wonder of who I am. And verse 8 says, so the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he went away, and he sent away all the rest of Israel and every man to his tent, and remained and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. In summarizing this, Gideon's army continues to pursue the fleeing Midianites led by their kings, Zebah and Zalbana. They pass through the towns of Succoth and Penuel, and both refuse to give food to Gideon's army. Gideon promises he'll make them pay when he's done with Zebah and Zalmunna. His army defeats Midian and captures Z&Z. On their way back, returns from Penuel and breaks down their tower and kills the men of the city. It was done. They couldn't even count the number of the enemy. But with 300 men in the middle of the night, and God's strategy and God's power, God did it. And they got to experience that. Who else got to experience the wonder and the blessing of that? You and me. When we read this passage of the scripture, going, wow, look at what God did. And God wants to do the same thing in our lives if we're willing to take the challenge. We can't fabricate the challenge. We can't say, okay, this is what I want. Now, God, you do your thing. That's just wrong. We have to be in tune with God and seeking God and saying, God, as the passage of Scripture says, here I am, send me. And be willing to respond, but don't be afraid that when God gives you something that you look at and say, wow, that's just beyond me, instead of retreating, say, it's by your power. And thank you for inviting me to be a part of it. In your insert, it says, every Christian should be working towards some godly goal that it is so outrageous it can only be accomplished through God's strength. Dr. David Jeremiah. We need to understand that there's nothing wrong with us looking to God and say, God, not for my ego, not for my pride, not for anything that points to me, but show me the direction you want me to go, and then use me in those circumstances and use me in those ways that reveal you. And give me the courage and the grace and the faith and the love and the confidence and the boldness to respond as you challenge me. I mean, that to me, that's the whole part of the Christian walk. That's the exciting adventure. Otherwise, it becomes flat. If we're just going through the motions of religion, I'm not saying we are. I'm just saying that we have to understand that that's not the intention that God has for us. God wants us to experience Him. The third point I want us to look at is engage in God's will with confidence. Engage in God's will with confidence. Summarizing Joshua 3, 1 through 13, it says, Joshua and the Israelites pack up their gear and head toward the Jordan River as they prepare for their big water crossing. They set up camp for the night. And Joshua tells Israel that they must sanctify themselves. Also heads up the Israelites, you are to follow the Ark of the Covenant at a distance of 2,000 cubits, or a half a mile. God says to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. It should be abundantly clear to the Israelites at this point that Joshua is the new Moses. As Israel is preparing to cross the Jordan, one man from each tribe is selected to carry the ark into the water. The Jordan River is in flood at this point in time. Otherwise, this wouldn't be so impressive. During spring, the floodwaters are coming down from the snow-capped mountains. The Jordan is full and tempestuous. And to cross it would mean, generally, you're risking your life. Let's look at what Joshua 3, 14 through 17 says. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. God's leadership has to take a stand to be bold. God's leadership has to be willing to step out. Who's the leadership? Is it just the pastor? No. Not just the pastor. Is it just the deacons? No. Although the leadership. Is it our Sunday school teachers as well?
That's leadership.
Our leadership, whomever you are that is in charge of leading, doing ministry, we need to be band together to step out as God's people to carry the ark. To carry the ark was the symbol of the presence of God going out and facing the challenge that God would have us to face. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that was beside Zarethan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Did you catch the simplicity of the faith that was required for God to act powerfully? You hear that again? Did you catch the simplicity of the faith that was required? The simplicity of the faith that was required for God to act and show his power. They carried the ark. God said, look, they're up on this mountain. They see the Jordan. The priests are to carry the ark a half a mile in front of the Israelites. So they could always keep the ark in front of them. We're always to keep God in front of us. Always to keep our eyes focused on God, following God, aware of God, know what God is doing, how he's leading us. We're supposed to keep our heart in tune with God, constantly keeping him in our focus. So that's what the ark represents. And God told him, now, even though the Jordan River is so strong and so powerful right now, even though it can wipe you dead in a millisecond as you step into the waters, I want you to do it and believe in me. So stop looking at the odds that stand against you, like Peter, and he looked around and he saw the waves and the wind and everything, and he sunk. But at least he walked on the water. Go down to the Jordan as leaders, and as people, follow. Guess what happened? They just stuck their foot in the edge. They carried the ark, they hold the ark of God, they're responsible for it. And they just put their foot in the edge of the Jordan. That's all. They didn't have to leap in and say, okay, guys, on count of three, we're all going to jump, carry the ark, and jump in. No, just put your foot in the Jordan. Just take that step of faith. Just respond to what God has for you to do. Just be willing to hear the challenge, and don't let the challenge scare you away. But follow what God has for you. And God displayed his power. Clear up at Adam, the water was backed up, and the water didn't flow anymore, and they crossed on dry land into the Canaan. Wow. Wow. Amazing. Then the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Do we want to discover what God wants for his kingdom work through our lives and our church family? Then, one, we've got to cry out to God. What is your Jordan? Do you see a Jordan in front of your life that keeps you from following to reach what God intends for your life? I have to ask myself that. I have to ask, Lord, is there anything standing between you and me? Not necessarily sin, but is it fear for the challenge? What is your Jordan? What is your barrier? What seems impossible for you to accomplish? God's your strength. God's my strength. And he's the one that we can rely on. In your insert, it says, fill in the blanks, often God will give us victory if we step out in faith to do our part. Jim Cimbala is a pastor and author of some books. If we're willing to step out in faith and do our part, we can see the victory. As they carried the ark, did what God said, put the foot in the embankment of the Jordan, God did the rest. He went before them, paved the way. Let's go to the Lord. Father,
I love you. And I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. In particular, our church family. And I'm asking, Father, please, that you would carry the message. That you would help not only those that are hearing the message, but me as well, to know what you are saying. That it's not Terry Glover as a pastor, what he's saying. It's you. We want to hear you. So, I guess to pray from my own heart and pray that it would be the same for all of us, just in greater ways, grab our heart. Touch our heart in such a way, Father, that we will see you and know you in ways that are richer and clearer and purer than we ever have before. And that we will know you better. And help our love for you to just grow and grow and grow more and more every day. Father, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision to receive you as their Savior, I pray that they'd come forward and say, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure that if I died I'd go to heaven, but I want to be sure. Help them, Father, to just have that desire to receive you into life. And if that be the case, may they come up even now while I'm praying, and I'll meet them down on the floor. If there are those that need to make a decision for you, whether it be a baptism or dedication or membership or have prayer concerns, I pray that they would come as well. But Father, help us to know you and your work and through our lives and our church family. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.